that are related to Rosh Hashanah. But we're going to begin with a problem that is discussed by Nechama Leibowitz, and I hope that we're going to go a great deal further in delving into this problem. The beginning of the parasha tells us that a covenant is being entered into. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Moshe Rabbeinu says you're all standing today before God, your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders, your officers, kol ish Yisrael, everybody, tapchem, children, women, strangers, asher bekerev machanecha, mechotei beitzecha ad shorim emecha, from the one who's the wood chopper to the one who is the water fetcher. Why is everybody gathered together? So the pasuk goes on to say, lo ovrecha bivrit Hashem Elokecha uva olato, for you to pass into the covenant of Hashem your God and into his imprecation. Imprecation. I think I know what an imprecation is. I'm reading from my Chumash. Oh, I'm going to tell you the Hebrew word. Olato, curse. Curse. That's one of the ways to learn English. You know the Hebrew, then you can figure out the English word. That you should pass through, become part of the covenant of God, your God, and in the curse. Asher Hashem Elokecha koreit imcha hayom, that God makes with you today, the covenant that he makes with you. The curse is, of course, and in addition to the curses that were said in Parashat Ki Tavo that were terrible, there are going to be terrible things that are going to be said over here in this parasha for anybody who thinks that he's going to be able to step out of the Jewish people and just decide that he's going to make his merry way through life and reject Torah. God's anger and his wrath is going to be poured out against him. And Moshe Rabbeinu says that this covenant is entered into not only between those of us who are present here today, number one, v'lo itchem levadechem, it's not with you alone, onochi koreit habrit hazot ve'et ha'ola hazot, that I enter into this covenant and the attendant curse that comes with it. Ki et asher yeshno po imonu omeit hayom lefnei Hashem Elokeinu. It includes all of those who stand here today before God our God. Ve'et asher einenu po imonu hayom, and the one who's not here today. What means is that in this covenant, it includes all Jews that are to be born throughout history. Now this is a problem. Who gave Moshe or anybody the power to obligate somebody who wasn't present when this covenant was entered into? Did anybody ask all the generations who were going to be born? Who? Nobody asked them. Nobody asked them, so why am I obligated? Or are we beating our heads against the wall? We have no obligation whatsoever. Or why should we be obligated? That's really the core question of this year. And it's going to make a lot of difference. It's going to make a lot of difference. Number two, and we're going to see a little bit of Jewish history here. The question is raised by Don Yitzchak Abarbanel. The Abarbanel, of course, was the treasurer of Ferdinand and Isabella, who could have remained in Spain, but he chose to go out into exile with the Jewish people in 1492. Nitatzmu lehilachem bo chachmei doreinu ze b'malchut Aragon. In Aragon, the wise men have with great strength waged war with this idea, al inyan abrit hazeh, this covenant, umamar hakatuba, the pasuk that says, lo itchem levadchem anochi koreit et abrit hazot, ki et hashiyesh no po, that asher enenu po imonu ayom. What were they so concerned about? They're concerned, as he will point out, the question that we're asking over here. Who obligated me? Who obligated us? Who obligated all of the generations that came afterwards? And he says, the Chachme Adargon of Spain, Ki minatan koach ledor hamidbar, shom duraglem al har Sinai, lechayevet asher yokumu miachareim, who gave the power to the generation of the desert, who stood at Mount Sinai, to obligate all of those who are going to come afterwards. Vameh shomru, because they said, Naase v'nishma, we will do and we will hear, ulaovram bevrit Hashem yidbarach, so that now all those who will come later are also going to be part of the covenant of God. Ad sheyichayvu otam bechol divrei haTorah v'habrit asher kartu, that they too should become obligated in all of the words of Torah and the covenant. Ulahamish zarim achareim, their children afterwards should be punished for not keeping the covenant. Like we find, the Gemara says often that Mushba va'omed mihar Sinai, all generations are as though they underwent the oath from Mount Sinai. But I wasn't there. So I know what you're going to tell me. Yes. And some of the Mepharshim here say it, all of the Neshamas were at Har Sinai. Listen, Neshama Haint, Neshama Morgan, we have to understand how people become obligated in the fulfillment of Torah Mitzvahs. Thank you, Mark. How does it happen? So the Abarbanel in number 3, and watch me as we go through this, because I should have given it numbers, but basically, he's going to say that if a father dies and he has left debts and obligations, his children have a responsibility to pay his debts. In Hayos Shekefi Adin, since according to law, Zochen La Adam Shalom Bafanov, Vein Chovin Lo Elo Bafanov, I have the right to obligate somebody in a schut, something that's a merit for him, even not in his presence, but I cannot obligate him to something not in his presence. And then also it says, in Odom Modish, Shivua Levonov, a person cannot cause children to inherit an oath that he personally underwent. That means that they should be obligated in the oath that he took upon himself. Father took something upon himself in his lifetime. Doesn't obligate the children afterwards. Father obligated himself to say all of Tillim once a week. So does that mean that all the children afterwards have to say Tillim once a week? Nothing to do with them. Ein Safek. But there is no doubt that if a person received a loan from somebody, children have to pay that loan. Shechayiv bepirona, who bonav adolam hin, his children forever have to pay that loan. Ki kamosha habonim zochim biyerushas nichse avim, just like children are the ones who receive the inheritance of their father, they also accept as well the obligations. You'll see where my lines are not straight, that he brings a pasuk, and it's important, this pasuk is at the end of Parshat Bahar, right before the Klalotim B'chukotai, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. God says, to me, the children of Israel are slaves. He's going to go one step further. The step further that he's going to do is the following, that in a sense, maybe in a very real sense, we were acquired by God fair and square. We were enslaved in Egypt. He took us out of slavery. What's the halacha if I purchase a slave? I purchased a slave, not a free man. I purchased a slave. Slave now becomes my slave. All of the obligations that the slave had to the previous master now become obligations to me. God says, "Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim," to me, the children of Israel are slaves. Avadai hang, they are my servants. Asher hotzeiti otam, whom I took out of the land of Egypt. Ulefisha zocha begufotehem, and since God acquired our bodies, kavodim, as servants, kavodim knanim, like non-Jewish slaves. Vezocha gam king b'nafshotehem, and God also acquired our souls, lefisha hishlimam shlemut nafshi b'matan torato, because who made the Jewish neshama? Who created it? Who formed it? Who forged the Jewish soul? God did that at Sinai. So it means he owns us, body and soul. If he owns us body and soul, the children of slaves are also slaves. Or if you like the word servants better, the children of servants also remain servants. We're going to see soon one of the great masters of the Haggadah that I usually quote before Pesach, the Leil Shimurim. You don't have to look at it now, it's on the other side. He says that's why the Haggadah begins with Avodah Mayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro in Egypt, and God took us out of there. He redeemed us from the hand of Paro. So you know what happened over here? There was a transfer of all of the rights that Paro had in the Jewish people to us. He was the master. Now he, capital H, becomes the master of the Jewish people. And all obligations that the Jewish people have to God begin with that first Avodim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. And it most probably is the answer to all of the questions that the children are asking. They may very well be asking, why do we have to sit through the Seder? What's it have to do with us, what took place 3,500 years ago? Well, Lefisha Zohar, so God acquired our bodies, he made our souls. Lachen hechnisam b'brit harishon b'hotzio otam mitzrayim. Ah, that's why when he brought them into the first covenant, when he took them out of Egypt, and they had said at the time, Nasa v'nishma, so the Abar ben El says, Nasa v'nishma means Nasa, talks about our bodies, with our bodies we will act. And Nishma means our souls and our minds that you gave us. They too will serve God. Begufotenu Nasa v'na'avod kavodim al Adonim, just like servants who serve their masters. Uvinafshotenu nishma v'namin k'talmidim l'rabam, and with our souls we will listen and we will trust and believe like a student does his Rebbe. Ulefisha ator rotza Hashem yidbarak lasot imam chesed achar v'hihu b'yirushat ha'aretz ha'kadosha. Now says the Abar ben El, a new covenant is being entered into. There was a covenant at Sinai. We're going to see that there was a covenant in Parshat Ki Tavod. There is a covenant. The third covenant is here in Parshat Nitzavim. What is the necessity for a new covenant if there was already a Brit at Sinai? So he says a different Brit is necessary now because they're getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. V'hu b'yirushat ha'aretz ha'kadosha, they're going to inherit the Holy Land. Hevi hatzorech she'ikonsu b'brit chadasha, they now have to enter a new covenant. Lefisha harishon hoyal shibud gufam v'achnotam unatam v'hashenit he'al yirushat ha'aretz. The first covenant was that they, body and soul, should be obligated to God. But now there has to be another covenant, and that's about inheriting the land. The purpose of that covenant was that they should always know, Shelo b'charbam yarshuaretz, it's not through the sword that they inherit the land. They inherit the land because God wants them to have it. If God doesn't want them to have it, it makes no difference how strong and how mighty they may be. It's God's will that makes all the difference in the world. And this land that they're going into is not something that they got from their fathers who stood at Sinai. This is a gift that's being given to them now. But they have to know that God never gave it to them as a gift. It's a loan. Call it a loan, or call it something that is given to the Jewish people for safekeeping, and it depends completely on how they're going to conduct themselves. If they're going to take good care of what God has entrusted to them, it will be theirs. If not, there will be problems. All right, we don't have to go through the rest of this piece. We got the piece over here. The Abarbanel then takes us to an unbelievable two psukim in Yecheskel. The elders of Israel came to Yecheskel. Yecheskel then was the prophet of the Jewish people in Bavel. It was around the period of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. And it seems that what's going through the minds of the elders of Israel is something that is expressed in this parasha. Lest there be those amongst you who will want to release themselves from the oath and the covenant and just go off and do their own thing. So Yechezkel tells the elders of Israel in the name of God, what's going through your mind will not be. Asher atem omrim, what is it that's going through their minds? You know what? Let's be like the Goyim, like all the other families of the earth. L'sharet eitz v'evem, will serve wood and stone. Listen to this pasuk. Chai onin Hashem Elokeichem, I swear, says God your God, im lo biyad chazaka, uvizroa netuya, uvechemash v'ucha, em lo chalechem. I swear that with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, with a pouring out of wrath, I'm going to be king over you. I will rule over you, whether you like it or not. Nothing is going to change your destiny. There's no way out. And on this, the Abarbanel makes a historic comment. A historic comment that certainly can be understood within the context of his own time, but can very easily be applied to the Jewish people at any moment in history, including today. Says the Abarbanel in Yecheskel, Hanevua hazot atzuma himod, this prophecy is so mighty. Ra'ui latet lev aleha, you should pay attention to it. Ki ruvo koro otanu, most of what this prophecy of Yecheskel says, it happened to us. V'ro'inu b'avoneinu, when we saw through our sins, b'golos hamar v'hanim harazeh, this utterly bitter exile, shanachnu bo b'tov b'nei Edom, that we are in the midst of the children of Edom, Rome, Esav. V'inyono ein sofik, there's no doubt about it, that this prophecy lo nitkaima b'galud b'avel. God ruling over the Jewish people with an outpouring of wrath never happened in the Babylonian exile. Babylonian exile was, for all intents and purposes, a very mild, mannered exile. Jews basically had autonomy. They ran their own affairs. There were no concentration camps in Babel. There was no Inquisition. Jews weren't being burned at the stake. The Rav, in one of his Tshuva Shurim, talks about that pasuk that we're going to say on Rosh Hashanah, Uvo ha'ovdim me'eretz Ashur v'anidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim. V'hoya b'yomahu, and it shall come to pass on that day, yitoka b'shofar gadol, the great shofar will be sounded, and those who are lost in the land of Ashur, and those who are enslaved in Egypt are going to return. So he says throughout Jewish history, there were either the Ovdim of Eretz Ashur or the Nidachim Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Those lost in the land of Ashur, he says, represents the Jews that went off into the Babylonian exile, or the 10 tribes that went out into exile earlier. They were never enslaved. They were never beaten, tortured, persecuted. But they were lost. They were lost. Was it the prosperity and the freedom? Is that why they were lost? Of course. But then there were other experiences that the Jewish people have had through history. And that was Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim experience was forced labor. Jewish children thrown into the Nile. Concentration camps, that's what Mitzrayim was. Abraham Benel says, we in Spain, we're not experiencing what they had in Bavel. Oh, this is a great deal different. Elo begolus Romi asher anachum bo, the exile of Rome in which we are. Shebnei Yisrael min leitzoros hagzeros v'hashmados, Jews, because of the terrible decrees and the attempt of Shmad. You know what's happened to us over here? Jews have en masse left the Jewish religion. And you know what they thought? They thought by embracing the church, they thought that, listen, they'll simply mingle, they'll mix, and become part of the nations of the world. The Osuzen, they did that b'choshrom shebezer tosu mehem hashgachas Hashem. They thought that God would forget about them. You know, leave us be. Leave us be. V'yotzu mechovat shmirat torato, and therefore they don't have the obligation anymore to keep this Torah. V'yu mitzlochen b'maseyem katzlochas ha'amim ahem. And they thought that we will now be able to be as successful as the nations of the world. All of our neighbors around us, very successful, live the same kind of life. V'lo yiyu od am Hashem v'tzon marito. They thought, we'll no longer be the people of God, the sheep that He sustains. V'lo yizoch Hashem Yisrael, the name of Israel, will no longer be remembered. U'keneged ha'meshumadim v'anusim shiyotzu miklal adat amah. So you know what Yechezkel is saying to those who embrace the church, that God says to them, Ubechema Shfucha, with an outpouring of anger, I will rule over you, I will be your king. Shachema him mitnei shavru al dat, the wrath that is poured out is because they had rejected Torah. V'ramaz bezeh, what he really is telling them, what he's really telling them is, you should know, regardless of to what extent you're going to try and be like all the nations of the world, it'll never help. You'll never be accepted. They'll still call you dirty Jew when you come to church every Sunday. It will never happen. If you're a fifth generation Jew, they're going to find you. This is Abarbanel saying it in the 15th century. And you know what that lesson of history is? That lesson of history is precisely what Yechezkel says. You think that you're going to be able to sort of leave Jewish faith, and therefore the faith of the Jewish people will not catch up with you? It won't be. He's telling him it's a law of history. It may very well be that what the Abravanel is, but he really means to say this, that whether we've asked the generations that are to come or not. Sind gar nicht helfen. Nothing's going to help. You're part of the Jewish people, and Jewish fate is going to catch up with you. There's no way out. It's only approach number one. Watch what he says. Even though they and their children will try to be absolute goyim, it just won't be. They're always going to call them Yudi, Jid. The goyim are going to call them Jews. Baal Korch, whether they like it or not. Did you see the picture in the Jerusalem Post, was it 2 days ago? Of a group of people who trace their ancestry back to the Anusim of Spain, have begun a movement to find their roots and return to Yahadut 500 years later. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I think it's if Michael Freund is the one who is the director of Amishav. People coming back. So Gornish Geholfen, what the Zaydis did 500 years ago, never made a difference. They just couldn't get lost because the Chema Shvucha Emloch Aleichem. V'shiyachshu otam liYehudim, even though they embrace Christianity, they're going to be considered Jews. V'yalilu aleihem, they will say all sorts of libels against them, accuse them of all sorts of terrible things. Sheimit yahadim b'seiter, you know what they're going to say about you? That in secret, in hiding, you are conducting yourself as Jews. What a picture he's giving us. What a picture. And you're going to be burned for it by the stake. All of this history of the Jewish people is included in that which it says. Even though they want to show themselves as goyim, in a bal korcham, you nechshavim liYehudim, ki haMelech Hashem tzvakot yimloch aleihem bal korcham. God is going to rule of us, over us, even against our will. Therefore, you know what he's saying? He's saying very clearly, you have a good question. By what right are we empowered to place this obligation on all of the generations to come? Et asher yeshno po imanu omeid hayom, those who stand here today and those who don't. You know what? You have a good dakasha. And you know what God's answer is? So what? I said so. You can make it sound a little bit better. Maybe, how odd of God to choose the Jews. But the fact is, I swore to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov that your children are going to be my people, and I'm going to keep that. So you have a good, yeah, you have a kasha. You know what? This may be the kind of kasha that Jews died because of, this kasha. But that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I want to take you a few steps, a few, I believe, giant steps forward. I think that there are a number of relationships between God and the Jewish people. And we're going to express it on Rosh Hashanah. There you have it. Hayom haras olam. Hayom yamid mishpat kol yitzurei olamim. Today is the birthday of the world. Today all creatures of the world stand in judgment. But about the Jewish people, there are two aspects. There are two faces to our relationship with God. Im kivonim, im ka'avadim. We're either like sons or we're like servants. Im kivonim, if we are sons, rachameinu kerachim of albanim, then God have mercy on us as a father has mercy over his children. Do you know what God tells Moshe to tell old Pharaoh? B'ni b'chodi Yisrael. Israel is my firstborn. Now, if we have a relationship of sons, children of God, that's the answer to our question. If we're the ones who stand at Sinai are his children, then our children are his Einik Lach. There's no way to break that. We're Mishpucha. I might not like my Mishpucha, but my Mishpucha still remains my Mishpucha. In Kivonim, in Kavodim. The first covenant, I'm going to say, the first covenant that is entered into in Sinai, you know what covenant that is? That's the covenant of Avodim. Onochi Hashem Elokecho, Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeit Avodim. I am God, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. The end of Parshat Tahar, we said earlier, which comes before Parshat Bechukotai, the last few psukim that are in Bahar, which comes before the Tochach of Bechukotai, Ki li b'nei Yisrael Avodim. To me, the children of Israel are slaves. Avodai hein, they are my servants that I took out of the land of Egypt. That's one dimension of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. There's a second one. And the second one is the one that begins to intensify through Sefer Devarim. Bonim atem la'ashem elokeichem, you are sons, you are children of God, your God. We have two relationships. One is expressed as avadim, and the other is bonim im kebonim. Rachameinu kerachem ova bonim, if like sons, God have mercy upon us, as a father has mercy on his children. V'im kavadim, einenu l'chot l'yot, and if we are like servants, then our eyes are lifted up, dependent on you, ad shetechoneinu, until you will be gracious unto us, v'totzika or mishpateinu, or yom v'kadosh, until you will judge us with light, and we will pass the judgment of Yom HaDin. We say this after the Tekiyas, after the sounding of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. How many times do we say it? Three times? During the repetition of the Shemona Esrei. Malchias, Echronas, and Shofros. Let's turn over to the next page. Maybe we'll go to number 8. I want to intensify the relationship of Bonim. In number 8, can I say 8? We have Rabbi Akiva in Pirkei Avos, famous Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva says, "Hu hayome," he used to say, "Chofev Adam shenivra betzelem, beloved is man who was created in the image of God." Chiva yotecha no dat lo shenivra betzelem. There is a great love that the between God and man, because he was created in the image of God. Shenema, ki b'tzelem elokim asa et ha'adam. So that's the general relationship. God loves all mankind. They're all his creatures. Next stage. Chavivin Yisrael, Israel, our beloved, shenikru bonim lamakom, they are called sons unto God. Chiva yoteidon odatlem, there's a special sense of love between God and the Jewish people, shenikru banim lamakom, because they are called sons to God. Shenema, banim atem la'ashem elokeichem, you are sons to God, your God. Chavivin Yisrael, there is a greater love to Israel because he gave us Torah, kli chemda. Shenikru chavivin Yisrael, shenitan lahem kli chemda, God gave them his most desirable object. Chiba yeteira nodat lahem, shenitan lahem kli chemda, shenema, ki lekach tov natati lachem torati al tazohu. I gave you a great gift, my Torah, don't forsake it. In number 10, we have psukim that appear in Parshat Shoftim, banim atem l'ashem elokeichem. You are sons to God your God. Lo tidgodidu v'lo tosimu korcho b'neinecha l'meit. Lo tidgodidu, we're going to see Rashi says, tu pshatim lo tidgodidu, means you shouldn't make incisions into your body as a sign of mourning, or cut yourself. Because you are a people who are holy to God your God. And God has chosen you to be His special people. He's chosen you to be the treasure from all people on the face of this earth. So that in Sefer Devarim, what we're going to see is there's an intensification of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. Say the following in a sense, im kavodim, avodim defines his relationship to us. He's melech, he's king, and we are his servants. Bonim defines our relationship to Hashem. We are His children. We are His children. There's going to be a third relationship that we're going to get to that, in my opinion, really establishes the meaning of the entire covenant in Parshat Nitzavim and is the real preparation for Rosh Hashanah. Bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem lo tidgodedu v'lo tosimu korcho b'neinechem l'meit. What does it have to do? Because we're sons, therefore we shouldn't cut ourselves over the dead. It seems that there were those who used to, as a result of their intense grief, would cut themselves. What's the significance of the meaning of cutting oneself? So Rashi says, because you're bonim l'Hashem, then you're supposed to look beautiful. God's children, you should not in any way mar your appearance. You don't have a right. You don't have a right to do that. That's one pshat. Rashi also says another pshat, lo tizgodedu, has a complete different meaning as well. Lo tizgodedu also means lo tasu agudos agudos. You shouldn't divide yourself into different groups. As banim, I mean, here we're going to be getting down to the real tachlis, yes. Here we're going to be getting down to the real tachlis. It means, therefore, that we have to, as banim, we should not be divided into separate groups. Let me intensify that a bit and show you a very beautiful twist that the Rambam teaches us. Rambam number 7. Chayovin onuli hizor b'mitzvah tzedaka yoter mikol mitzvot asay. How do you like that? We have to be careful about the mitzvah of tzedaka more than every other positive commandment. The Rambam does not make these broad statements, you know, the kind that I'm accustomed to make. The Rambam doesn't do that. If the Rambam says that tzedakah is a mitzvah you have to be concerned about more than any other positive commandment, we are taking somebody who saw all of Torah before him, and that's it. There are a few mitzvahs about which he makes very unique and unusual statements. By kibud av ve'em, he says, mitzvah gedola hi av bi'od, honoring very, very great mitzvah. Here he says that you have to be careful about tzedakah more than any other mitzvah. Shat tzedakah simin l'tzadik zera avrom avinu, an indication of whether you are from the genes of Avram Avinu depends on tzedakah. If you want to know, you don't need to do a DNA the DNA of whether you're the children of Avraham, if you give tzedakah, shenema, ki yedativ, God says about him, because I know, he's going to command his children in his house after him, lasso tzedakah. Vein kisei Yisrael mitkonein, the throne of Israel will not be established, vedato emet omedet, and the true religion can only stand on tzedakah. Shenema, Yeshayahu says, b'tzedakah tikonani, through charity you will be established as an eternal people. Vein Yisrael nig'olin elo b'tzedakah, and Israel are redeemed only through the schut of tzedakah. Shenema, Sion v'mishpat tipada, also Yeshayahu in the first chapter, Sion shall be redeemed through justice, v'shaveha, and those who return, it will be in the schus of tzedakah. Now, you have to listen carefully to the Rambam. La'olam ein odom ma'ani min ha'tzedakah, a person never gets poor from tzedakah. How do you like that? Guaranteed. Doesn't say yet that you get rich, but he says you don't get poor from tzedakah. Don't think that if you give tzedakah, we're talking about somebody who gives tzedakah normally, the one we should give, we're not talking about somebody who goes off the deep end. La'olam ein adam mani min hatzedakah, a person never becomes poor from tzedakah. Shedembe, because it says, v'hoyo ma'asa hatzedakah shalom. The act of tzedakah is one that brings peace to a person. It's not something that's going to upset his whole life. Kol ha-merachim, whoever is merciful upon others, merachamin olav, they are merciful with him. Shenema v'notan lecho, rachamin v'richamcho v'hirbecho, God is going to give you mercy and he will give you, in addition to that, greater mercy. V'kol mishu arzori v'enu merachim, anybody who's cruel and does not act with mercy, yesh lochush liyachaso, you have to be careful, you have to be careful to check where does he come from. Where does he come from? Is he really Jewish? She'ein harzoriyat mitzuya elav agoyim, because cruelty can only be found amongst goyim. Shenema achzori heimo v'lo yirachemu, they are cruel and they are not merciful. V'chol Yisrael v'anilva aleihem, listen to what the Rambam is going to say now. V'chol Yisrael and all of Israel, the hanilva aleihem, and those who become part of the Jewish people, ka'achim heim, like brothers. How does he know we're brothers? Look what the Rambam says. Because it says, bonim atem l'ashem olokechem. You are sons to God. If we're all sons of God, then it obviously means that we're brothers. All right? I think there's something extremely significant in what the Rambam is saying over here. He's translating banim, children, into achim, brothers. And I think this is very significant. I mean, he could have simply said banim atem Hashem elokeichem, and mahu rachum, just as God is merciful, so you should be merciful. Just as God visits the sick, you visit the sick. He buries the dead, you bury the dead. He clothes the naked, you clothe the naked. I don't know, why does he have to turn us into brothers? And he turns us into brothers because if we're both sons of the same father, then we are obviously brothers. Why does he have to do this? V'imlo yirachem, but first let's see how he says, v'imlo yirachem ha'och al ha'och. If a brother is not going to have mercy on his brother, mi yirachem alav, who's going to have rachmanis on him? If a brother is not, ulmi ani Yisrael nosin einem, and to whom do the poor of Israel lift up their eyes? Halagoyim shesonim otam verot v'nachareim. To whom? Who's going to take care of us? Who's going to protect us? The goyim who hate us and who pursue us. Ha'ein einem tluyos elolachem. A Jew looks for mercy, compassion, understanding to his brother. All right, you know what we've just now done? We now have three relationships. We have Eved, We have Ben, and we have Ach. We have Ach. Now, my chiddush is the following. What is the covenant that's entered into in Parashat Nitzavim? So the Gemara explains. It says over Hanistaros, that which is concealed is Lashem Elokeinu v'haniglos, and that which is revealed is Lonu ulevoneinu ad olam, for us and our children forever. Says the Gemara, the covenant that was entered into between Klal Yisrael, who are standing before God, is the covenant of Arvut. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zel Azeh. All of Israel are responsible one for another. And you know why this covenant takes place here? The only way we're going to survive when we go into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to cross into Eretz Yisrael, the only way we're going to survive is if we conduct ourselves with a sense of responsibility to one another. I call that, as the Rambam did, I call that the relationship of Achim, the relationship of brothers. Because Ben defines by relationship to the father. Ach represents my relationship to my fellow brother. That's the chiddush of Parshas Nitzavim. The chiddush of Parshas Nitzavim, not so much a covenant between the Jewish people and God. God is standing there present to watch and testify for all time that you entered into this relationship with one another. Therefore, the Rishonim say that Parashas Nitzavim always has to be read before Rosh Hashanah. And there's the famous statement by the Ran and by others, why is Parashas Nitzavim read before Rosh Hashanah? Tichle shono v'kilolotecha. Let the year and its curses be ended. Tochel shono u'birchoteha. Let a new year and its blessings come. So they're saying why? Because there are very serious things that are said in here in Parashat. Very, very serious things that I said over here in the passage with Sovin. I'll just read a few psukim. He says God's anger is going to go out against him, he who wants to step out of the Jewish religion, and all of the curses that are written in this sefer will fall upon him. Then he describes how the earth, Eretz Yisrael, is going to become dry and arid, scorched earth, until the Goyim are going to ask, what happened to this land? They're going to take a look at this land and they're going to say, what happened? V'omru kol ha-goyim al ne'er osa Hashem kochal oretz hazos, and the Goyim are going to say, what did God do to this land? Mechori ho'af ha-godol hazeh. What's the great anger? They say the covenant that's being entered into is the covenant of brotherhood, achma, because the only way we're going to survive in Eretz Yisrael is if we're going to learn how to conduct ourselves like brothers. Because God forbid, if we're going to have to face the world out there at the same time that we're facing off against one another, our chances of survival are very slim. Very slim. It will require an absolute open and divine miracle in order to be able to save us from ourselves. And what I worry about, of course, is that we're heading, God forbid, we're heading in that direction. The Rebbe Yisham, I don't know how to stop it. But our survival in this country depends not on our being Eved Hashem, not on our being Bonim Lashem Elokeichem, but on our being Achim to one another. Do you know why God is overseeing this covenant? I tell you, terrible. I was just looking for the paper. I'm not crazy. I heard a report on the radio last night. There was a report, I think it was either in Bat Yam or Kulon, that two brothers were fighting with one another. And a father tried to separate the brothers. And I'm not sure of the exact details, but the father ended up being stabbed and is in hospital now. You know what I thought of? The Rebbein Shem is looking down over here and he sees two brothers getting ready to square off a battle. Let me ask you, is there anything more painful to a tata than watching two children getting ready for battle against one another? Nothing more painful. So the Eibshter opinion, it shouldn't happen in any family. Here is Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. He has Bonim. And the Bonim are split, I don't know, down the middle, or someplace they're split. And as I mentioned, I think I mentioned last week, that article in Haaretz that shook me up, where Yoel Marcus, one of the great writers, great with a very small g, writers of Haaretz, says, we can't let the settlers stand in our way. This is going to have to happen, even if it's going to call for shefech dam, spilling blood. So I told you last week, if I would have written an article like that, I would long ago have been lost in the bowels of Migrash Harusim someplace, and they'd have me on a rack, you understand? And Yael Marcus can write, I read it, I pushed it, my heart was splitting, and then I hear this on the radio last night. Can you imagine? A tata watching two children, two sons, two brothers. And obviously this must have been some kind of a struggle to the death. The father wants to break up the fight. And do you know who's always hurt worst in the struggle? The tata. Avinu B'Shamayim. He's the one who's hurt most in the struggle. Do you know why we're supposed to read Nitzavim? You know why we're supposed to read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah? Because there's only one way for us to make it through the Yom HaDin with success. It all depends on the extent to which we become plugged in to Klal Yisrael. Because if we're going to want to stand up for judgment before God alone, Rabbeinu Shalom, here I am, go judge me. We don't have a snowball's chance in Gehenna of making it through. Ah, but what happens? What happens if we stand before God, not as individuals, but we stand before the Rabbeinu Shalom as Am Echad? Oh, then it's a completely different story. There's the famous, it's a Zohar, it's a Parsha in Tanakh, Elisha and the Shunammite. There was a Shunammite woman who provided a place for Elisha the prophet. She told her husband, this great prophet comes by here all the time, let's make a little room for him. And they made a room with a table and a chair and a lamp. And whenever Elisha would pass through, he'd come to Shunem and stay by that woman. And then Elisha asks his servant Gehazi, call this woman here. And she comes up to Elisha, and Elisha says, Ayesh l'daber lach el ha-melech. Do you need anybody to speak to the king on your behalf? Or al Sarat Tzava, or to the commander of the army? And she gives a cryptic answer. This woman says to Elisha, Betoch ami anochi yoshavet. I live amongst my people. What's she talking about? What does she mean? What does she mean? That perek, That story is introduced by the words Vayihi Hayom, and it was on a particular day that Elisha said to her, "Can I speak to the king for you?" So the Zohar HaKadosh explains this conversation that took place between Elisha and the woman. Vayihi Hayom was Rosh Hashanah, it's the Yom HaDin. And he says, "Is there anything that I can speak to Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is there any request that I can make of God on your behalf?" And the Zohar goes on to say that she answered with such wisdom, "Betoch ami anochi yoshavet. I'm amongst my people. I don't want to be mentioned before God alone on Rosh Hashanah. I only want to be mentioned together with Klal Yisrael. Don't single me out. Don't single me out." I think I once mentioned this, the famous story, they say that Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yinkom Tabo, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Baranovich, was killed by the Nazis on Rosh Hashanah. He told the Gaboyim in the Yeshiva, "Don't give me an Aliyah on Rosh Hashanah." So the Gaboyim, of course, you know, says in Shulchan Aruch that a person should try to make sure that he gets an Aliyah on Rosh Hashanah. And here is the Rosh Yeshiva who can have any Aliyah that he wants. And he says, "Please don't call me up to the Torah. Don't call me up to the Torah on Rosh Hashanah." So they asked the Mechebe, but the Shulchan Aruch says otherwise. So he says, Rabbi Chana answered them, and he said, in line really with what the Shunamit had said to Elisha, "I don't want you to say on Rosh Hashanah Ya'amod Rabbi Chanan Bunim B'Rav Naftali Benish. I don't want you to mention my name. I don't want you to single me out. I don't want my name to be heard separately." You know what he's saying? Betoch ami anochi yosha. On Rosh Hashanah, I'm part of Klal Yisrael. The extent to which I'm plugged into Klal Yisrael is the extent to which I can stand up before the Rebbein Yishlana. There are even Rishonim and Achronim that say that a person should try to do something during the course of the year which Klal Yisrael benefits from it. Or the Klal, doesn't mean all of Klal Yisrael, somebody else benefits. The extent to which I do something that others benefit from, therefore makes me now part of Klal Yisrael. So you know what I want to say? The Rishonim, and with all humility, the Rishonim say that we read Parshas Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah so that Tichle Shana V'Kilolotel, the year and its curses should be gone. There's a little bit of a problem with this, and some ask the question, Hazinu is going to come before Yom Kippur, and there are very, very difficult psukim in Hazinu. So I say, do you know why we read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah? Because at Sinai there was Bris, Melech, and Avadim. In Kavodim. In Parshas Kisavo, there was the bris of Bonim. Bonim Atem Rashem Elokechem. In Kavonim, in Kavodim. The bris that takes place in Parshas Nitzavim is Bris Achim. Bris Achim makes us now all part of that one cloud. And if we become part of a Brit Achim, then we can stand up before the Rebbein Yishalom and say, "Betoch ami anochi yoshavet." How are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? I push it, can't get out of my mind the tata who watches his two children fighting. And he's wounded. He's wounded. The tata is going to have to get in between us. He's going to have to be the one. There's a difficult year coming up. I hope I'm wrong. I hope things are going to change dramatically. And I don't know, you should know, the Rebbein Shem always has a way of pulling something out of his hat. I don't know what he's going to do, but we are heading for a chas v'sholom zolde b'shtar repeating for a head-on collision. And the Rebbein Shem is wounded by this. What we have to remind ourselves before Rosh Hashanah is not only Brit Avadim, not only Brit Banim, but Nitzavim, which I hold as Brit Achim. That's it.